Humorist and speaker Linda M. Potter is becoming known as, to many, as the Irma Bonbeck of metaphysics, and her quick wit and chronicles of the seemingly ordinary yet extraordinary signs on the road of life. I like that. Born and raised in the suburbs of Chicago during the 1950s and 60s, she was one of the five children taught to believe in the American dream and the hard work it would take to achieve it. You're listening to the International Taz and Paula Show, and I'm Paula.
And I'm Taz. And today we are here with our guest, Linda Potter, who is set to inspire millions and ignite laughter worldwide. She says, God knows we all need a laugh or two daily. And Potter knows from personal and professional experience what people need to hear to relate and laugh from deep inside. Oh, wow. It's always great when you find yourself laughing deep inside. What a gift. Linda Potter describes herself as a conscious rebel with a cause since childhood. She was always much happier tucked away behind the sofa in her family's cramped apartment, reading her treasured books and doing homework while her four siblings ran amok.
Well, that doesn't sound like her now.
No.
Well, Linda M. Potter's professional resume reads like... With a piece, my tongue is tied, Linda.
Wikipedia.
Entry for attention deficit disorder. She has had more jobs than hair colors and filled out more aptitude forms than tax returns. Yet her brand of inspired, lighthearted humor is exactly what the doctor ordered for today's times. That's for sure. And your book... I don't know how long it's been out.
Actually, it launches at the end of May, actually.
Oh.
It's not out quite yet.
Well, it's not quite yet, but it's coming soon. If only God wanted to give me a sign, is the name of the book, If Only God Would Give Me a Sign. And it sounds like to me that you are exactly what the doctor ordered, because everybody is so serious about things.
Absolutely.
And we need to maybe get our lessons in more of a humorous way. So, and when we were reading about your life, I expected you to be one of the siblings who was doing tricks on your brothers and sisters instead of behind the couch.
I was the oldest. I certainly had plenty of fun. I didn't miss that out as a child.
Well, you know, Linda, you're really a breath of fresh air being able to have you with us today. You know, laughter is really what massages our souls and allows us to look at life in a whole different way. And it's really a pleasure to have that and have you bring that to us today. Let me ask you a question. What was the original motivation for you becoming such an avid follower of both literal and subtle signs from God, you know, quote, in everyday life?
Right. Well, as you said, I was raised in a fairly traditional home. We lived in an apartment in Chicago, and I had my four brothers and sisters and myself in two bedrooms. It was that sort of thing. And we had a very strong religious ethic. You know, I mean, I went to Sunday school every week, attended Bible school every summer, and it was not a bad experience for me, but I never felt comfortable with the rigidity of all of it, the formality of all of it. You know, I kept asking my parents, why can't you talk in church? I didn't understand what the problem with that was. You know, why can't you applaud after the choir sings if you like the song? You know, why do we have to sing the same songs every single week? Why do we repeat the same words every single Sunday? And why was I only allowed to wear my black patent leather shoes with the bows on Sundays? You know, is that sort of thing. Were these demands that God was making, requirements that we had to meet, or was this something we had made up? And why didn't anybody ever talk about God Monday through Saturday, you know, except in the context of, you know, all the terrible things he was going to do to you if you didn't believe in him? And so, you know, as an adult, that, you know, that perspective got a little more sophisticated. But it started to bother me that, you know, wasn't God or the God energy, however you want to frame that, around 7 days a week? And if it was, well, then why don't you ever hear anyone chatting about their higher power at Starbucks over a decaf latte? You know, it's not something that comes up. And I really wanted to change the way we look at our relationship with our higher power. You know, again, however that looks for you, whether it's God, whether it's Buddha, whether it's the one mind, the quantum field, you know. And I wanted to be able to use the God word in polite company, you know, and have those casual conversations with the universe whenever I had something to say. And that was kind of the motivation behind wanting to do something. Now, how it turned out to be a book about science was a whole other story. And it's kind of interesting. It's a good example of, you know, God has a sense of humor. There's no doubt in my mind that that's true. That actually came in a very funny way. What I describe in the book actually really happened. It was just one of those unusual days, not unusual, but it was one of those particular days that I was having a bad time, and I was experiencing, you know, one of those dark night of the soul things, probably the third one that week. You know, I had a lot of that kind of stuff going on. Drama was my thing. But as far as I was concerned, my life sucked, and I had no clue, you know, where I was supposed to go next. So I did something. I mean, it wasn't atrociously strange, but I did something that was at least a little bit out of the box, even for me. I literally went out on my back deck and made sure nobody was around, because we have a minister next door, so I really wanted to make sure he wasn't there. I went back out on my back deck. And I just literally just screamed, you know, at God and said, I need a sign. I just need a sign. I am tired of messing around. I need some direction here, you know, that will really give me something to hope for, a life that's a lot better than the one I'm currently living. It was very dramatic, and I really did do it with all the, you know, all of the power and all of the flair of a, you know, something that might have been in one of those epic biblical movies, thinking, I guess, that the bigger I went, the bigger the response would be. You know, but still, I felt a little ridiculous. Came back into the house, didn't know what I expected to happen, but I sort of sat around and waited for something to happen. I don't think I expected, you know, the stone tablets to materialize in my front room. I don't think I did. I don't think I expected, you know, the foliage in the front yard to suddenly burst into flame. But there was this part of me that said, okay, something has got to happen. I made a plea to God, and I expect an answer. But nothing did. I mean, at least not at first. Then, a few days later, I was out running errands, and I decided, you know, just to stop by my favorite bookstore and see what Deepak Chopra was up to these days, kind of thing. And there in the window was, you know, one of those just normal, ordinary health wanted signs. Now, I can't explain why this particular sign seems so interesting, but it was. And I remember, you know, just kind of staring at it. And for the next couple of days, it was one of those crazy things. I couldn't stop thinking about it, like, you know, a song that runs around in your head continuously. And I sort of felt a little bit like, I told my husband, I feel a little bit like Richard Dreyfuss in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, you know, where he couldn't get that vision of the Devil's Tower out of his brain. I didn't go so far as to actually draw pictures of it or recreate it in clay, thank goodness, but it did keep running around in my head. And as I went about the week, you know, I would find myself unconsciously checking the front windows of every store that I passed to see if there was a help wanted sign like the one I'd seen in the bookstore. And, you know, I was starting to become really obsessed with this, and I actually ended up finding lots of them, similar but not exactly like the one at the bookstore. I think there were about a half a dozen at the mall. There was one at a gas station. I remember seeing one at a movie theater. And then there's always, it seems like, those help wanted signs at, you know, fast food restaurants. They're always looking for someone. And I started feeling like I was in the middle of a comedy routine trying to figure out what the punchline was, you know. was this like God's idea of a practical joke? After all, I had asked for a sign. Well, I finally decided I'd go back to the bookstore where the whole help wanted sign thing had started and look at it again. And that's what I saw. What I actually had missed the first time around. It was one of those regular help wanted signs with just the little red plastic letters on it that you can get at the office supply store. But what I had missed when I was there the first time was that someone had written in black magic marker beneath the help wanted two words, which were simply inquire within. And it was one of those moments when you don't know, you know, if you're supposed to laugh or cry, but it was really emotional for me because it occurred to me, here I had asked God for a sign, and what I had gotten in return was what I felt was probably the message I most needed to hear. You know, help wanted, you know, it was sort of asking me, and then it answered me with exactly what I needed to know, which was inquire within. And that was kind of how it all got started. And it was like God and I had a secret code going or something. It started with the help wanted sign, but then I started noticing signs absolutely everywhere. You know, I was suddenly just hyper aware of every sign I encountered. I wrote down everything that I saw. You know, you really don't realize just how much of a sign-oriented culture we really are until you do something like that. Boy, there's signs. Door windows, on street corners, highways, trucks, buildings. I think at the end of the week I had about 100 signs. It was that quick that showed up. And then it was like someplace between construction zone and, you know, no public restrooms that it hit me. It's not about getting a sign from God. It's about paying attention, you know, to the ones that we already have. And that's when the book was officially birthed.
Now, before you wrote this book, were you a professional stand-up comedian?
I wasn't. I did some of that in college, but it was one of those things that I always thought it would be fun to do, but, you know, Mom said, you know, I don't think this is a career. It's a summer job. So I didn't go into that. But I did end up going into theater. And I love comedy, and I still do. So maybe I'm the perfect ambassador for needing to enlighten up a little bit, because I think we do take ourselves way too seriously.
And so did you do anything New Age or metaphysical or do any workshops or studies on before this all happened?
Actually, no. It was really a whole new experience for me. I had, at the time, I was actually going through a divorce and trying to figure out, you know, where I was going, all of that kind of thing. I did end up at a religious science church. My daughter took me, introduced me to that. So there was, you know, it was starting to come in. But I hadn't really had any experiences along those lines. So it was quite exciting to have it, to learn a little bit about metaphysics and new thought at the same time that I was having all of this input coming in, you know, from the universe, all this fun stuff happening. Big learning curve, very fast, very fast.
So the difference between a sign and and a coincidence in your life, how do you differentiate on this?
Oh, yeah. People ask me that all the time. I don't know that I'm an expert on it, but my feelings about that are that basically all signs are coincidences. But the question becomes, are all coincidences also signs? That's where it gets a little bit trickier. And, you know, I think in the bigger picture, I would say definitely yes. They may not be all big signs, you know, but somehow you've ended up in this place at this time, and there's some meaning to everything that's going on. You know, there are no accidents. I really believe that. I remember running into an old high school friend from Chicago at a souvenir shop in Yellowstone. I mean, it couldn't have been any farther removed. And it was kind of odd. I thought, well, that was interesting. But at that particular time, I had been considering going back for my high school reunion, so it was somewhat serendipitous that this person showed up at that particular point about 4 weeks before the reunion was going to happen. And it actually kind of was the tipping point for me as to whether to go or not to go. And surprisingly, I surprised myself a little bit because it actually tipped me towards not going. It just felt like at that particular moment in my life, I didn't really want to revisit the high school. It wasn't who I was anymore. There was a lot of things I had still needed to resolve around that time in my life. So I actually ended up not going as a result of having run into, you know, this person at Yellowstone. Now, you know, on the other hand, when you know, a box of chocolate cake drops off the shelf and hits your foot, you know, at the grocery store, how much meaning can you get out of that? I don't know. You know, I certainly wouldn't jump to, you know, any conclusions like God's telling you to go on a chocolate binge. I doubt that that's what's happening there.
You go around the store waiting for something to interrupt so you can eat it.
Right. Tell me what I'm supposed to have for dessert tonight, right? But, you know, at the same time, you know, it makes you aware of just how much chocolate you have stashed in the top drawer of your nightstand, like someone I know. It might be a sign, you know, one with a message that I honestly didn't want to hear. yeah, I just like to think of signs as mostly synchronicities, you know, when we're connected to our true self, our higher power, things just kind of fall into place, you know, that encourage us to keep going. And sometimes it's difficult to know, you know, is this really a sign for me or is this something meant for someone else? I also feel that, you know, we know when something is meant for us. We may pretend we don't know, but we know. It just feels different than things that aren't meant for us. And, you know, there's more of a connection somehow. And signs from God are always things, you know, that empower us in some way. So if we get something that's going to lead us down a path of negative thinking or anger or hopelessness, you know, that's probably not a sign from God, not in the sense that we're talking about it. We want things that lead us in the direction of hope and joy and peace and all of those wonderful good qualities.
You know, it's interesting you're saying this about signs and things like that. Over this last week, Paula had emailed me about, I guess we got a request from our website, and someone referred back, referred back to an author that we both know in a book that we know about, and it kind of brought up the aspect as far as things for me. My skirt had brushed off a book in Paula's bookstore on the floor. It actually brushed it off on the floor, and I remembered this book. It was such a brilliant color on it, and right after that, 5 minutes later, I went and dialed up the phone from a piece of paper Paula had on her desk in this bookstore about someone who was looking for a secretary. And I called this publishing company and went to interview the very next day. After I got done with the interview, the lady said to me, "Oh, by the way, you should see the books that we publish." And she picked up the books that my skirt brushed off from Paula's bookstore on the floor. I knew I was in the right place. This is what, you know, you say coincidence. It just literally, I went, "Oh, my goodness, this is incredible." When she handed me that book, I was speechless.
Absolutely, yeah. Oh, well, that's perfect. That's exactly the kind of thing that happens to people all the time. And too often we just sort of dismiss it as being just a funky coincidence, but I don't think so. I don't think that was a coincidence at all, and it doesn't sound like you did either.
No, I mean, it was pretty obvious, you know.
Right.
You know what happens to me is when I get a sign and ignore it, it'll come to me mm-hmm. three times, and after the third time, I'm thinking, well, I better not ignore this.
Exactly. When something keeps showing up repeatedly, that's definitely a sign. You know?
So is your book actually about different signs that people had, or?
Yeah, you know, I talk about that a little bit. Mostly what it is is I've taken a variety of different signs, my 15 favorite signs out of the list of a couple hundred or so that I ended up with after a year or so of doing this, and I'd use them as inspiration to kind of discuss spiritual issues. And there's some funny stories involved in there. Like, for example, I have a chapter on open for business. And I talk a little bit about there. I had in there about a store. I had a store for a period of time with an open and close sign. And, you know, some of the funny things that kind of go on around that idea of whether you're open for business or you're not, and how clear you are about whether you're open to receive your good, or whether you'd really want to shut the door and say, I'm done for the night, and how that can come back and kind of bite you in the butt from time to time. So each one of the chapters deals with an issue that we all, you know, experience in one way or another, and have some fun with it, with some messages that may have meaning for us, some wisdom that came out of those experiences. I had no shortage of just crazy, bizarre, funny anecdotes from, you know, my life and friends and family. It's crazy, the stuff that we do and go through, and and yet we come out on the other end somehow.
All beat up and scarred.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the one chapter I didn't write, and I'm going to do it in the next book. I've seen the sign before, but it just wasn't in my top of my head at the time, was please pick up your own poop. I thought that was just, that begged for a chapter, but it didn't make this one. However, Beware of Dog did, so I guess that's close enough. Oh, you know, when you see some of them, the meaning, I go to the airport, and every time I see the check baggage sign, I just break out in laughter. I mean, this is not like it's the first time. But, you know, you see that, you go, oh, my goodness, God has a sense of humor. You know, check baggage. And then you do it, and then you get off the plane, and then you see this sign that goes, you know, pick up your baggage here, or claim baggage. And you want to go, no, do I really have to do that?
You just got rid of it. Why do you want to?
Right. I just got rid of it. Why do I want to go to baggage claim? Could I just go straight for the taxi? it makes you think, and I'm hoping what will happen with the book is they'll just start finding those funny little things that they run across on a daily basis and finding humor and joy and fun in them. Yeah.
Are you going to start a blog with this?
Oh, yeah.
So people could share with you their signs.
There you go.
And that could create another book.
Create another book. I was going to say, because if people begin reading this kind of book, they can kind of look back on their life and the things that happened to them and go on, oh, okay, you know. So a whole repertoire of things arrives. When you did your book, was there any part in that book that you didn't anticipate happening that was, you know, a real shocker? And, or if not, maybe, you know, some kind of surprise or something that you didn't anticipate it when you wrote this book.
Oh, gosh, daily there were surprises. You know, what's interesting is I'll look back on the book and you go through this editing process a million times, I think, before it goes to the publisher or goes to the printer. We have been working with a publisher. And I look at some of those chapters and I think, I don't even remember writing these. You kind of feel like you're partnering with spirit on some of this stuff, and you get so involved in it, and you look back on it afterwards and you think, wow, that was really good. I wonder who did that.
Yeah.
Some of the stories, though, was interesting. The stories that came up, because what I would do literally, I don't do anything traditionally, I guess, but what I did is I took all 200 of those signs, literally, and I put them in a big bowl. I had like little pieces, slips of paper, put them in a big kind of like a fishbowl thing, and every morning I would get up and I'd draw one out and I would just write for a half an hour, whatever came to the top of my head for a half an hour on that particular sign, whatever that kind of inspired. And then at the end of Well, about 200 days, actually, probably more like a full year because I didn't do it every day. I kind of looked back at what I'd written and picked out the chapters that, you know, the signs that begged to have more. You know, they were just screaming, more, you need to go farther with this. And that's how I ended up with the 15 chapters. So even as I was doing the signs in that those very early stages, the things that came up for me when I looked at a sign amazed me constantly. You know, how did I end up going there? For example, there was one, hazardous conditions may exist. I looked at that, and where my head went was conditional love, unconditional love. That's where I went. And it was kind of a left turn off of what you might expect. So the chapter is all about what it means to love unconditionally, and that anything less than unconditional love has hazards attached to it. And there's a couple of really touching stories in there, and some funny ones. There's always some funny ones. So that chapter surprised me a lot. There were a couple others that I had that same kind of reaction. I had no idea where Beware of Dog was going to go. I started writing that one, I thought, maybe this doesn't fit. And I went, no, everything fits. And that was fine. I ended up talking about my grand puppies and my dog allergies when I was a kid. And it went in the direction of what does fear mean to us? You know, how much is fear a part of our lives, and how does it play out? And do we hide behind dogs, for example, to kind of keep our fear in check? So it was an interesting chapter. There's a lot of that happened as I worked through it. Just surprising stuff that would come up. My publisher was looking at some of the chapters, and she goes, "You know, when I saw a detour, this isn't where I would have gone." But that was half of the fun of it for me, was that I had my own kind of quirky twist on everything. And that's the way signs are, I think, with everyone. You know, the way I would react to a book falling off the shelf, and where it was, the way somebody else might react to that same book falling off the shelf, is going to be different. You know, the signs have meaning for us in a way that's very personal to us. And that's fine. That's exactly the way that it ought to be, you know.
Now, this, I can see where you can go so many different ways with this. I mean,
right.
And you could even do a workshop on putting up a sign and having everybody write what that would do, like your publicist said. I wouldn't have gone that way.
Yeah, right. Oh, exactly. I do workshops, and I had handed out, this is a kind of a cute story, at the end of the workshop, I'll just put all sorts of different signs, little pictures of signs in envelopes and pass them out to people. And I did that this one workshop, and an elderly woman came up to me afterwards, and she was extremely concerned, and she said, "I'm very concerned about the sign that I got." And I said, "Oh, well, it's just fun. You know, I just want you to open it and see if the sign means something for you, just sort of a little parting thing." She goes, "Well, I did open it, and I'm very concerned." So I said, "Well, what did you get?" Well, apparently the sign she got was tornado shelter sign, and it had a picture of a tornado swirling, and then it has this little, you know, kind of stick figure running in front of the tornado. And she looked at me absolutely seriously, and she said, "Do you think this means God's going to smite me with a tornado and I went, "Wow, I wouldn't have gone there." God's going to smite you with a tornado. That's not what I was getting. And she was very, very serious. And I said, "You know, these are not meant to be heavy things at all." I said, "If I were looking at that, what I would think is, man, there's all sorts of stuff swirling around you, but look at how much farther ahead you are of it. It hasn't caught up with you yet. I take that home with you. I wouldn't worry about getting caught in a tornado tonight." She seemed relieved. But it was just, it's interesting that people will get signs do mean different things to different people.
So the workshop came before the book.
The workshop kind of came, yeah. Well, the book has actually been in process for probably 5 years, and I've been doing workshops around that for quite a while. From the very beginning, I started doing talks and workshops as soon as the stuff started to show up, and then the book kind of followed behind. It came as quickly as it could.
Yeah,
so, yeah, I've had a lot of time to work with it.
So so
do you
much
have a
material
website?
To work with. Go ahead.
Do you have a website?
I do. It's lindampotter.com. You can also access it through ifonlygodwouldgivemeasign.com. That'll get you there as well. Just a little more typing. But you have
so
to put the
so
M
much,
in middle name.
There is so much material. I mean, the universe is your open book on this.
Well, that's a
you
good
know,
title. That's a
yeah,
good title, Taz.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is truly is open. I mean, it's you can pop anything in there. It's amazing. You know, it really is. And I think what your book and what you're saying is, Linda, to me, it just says, wow, you just paying attention in the moment, you know, your sign is there, you know, just literally no matter what you would look at and your eyeball would become glued to, it's like, you know, telling you something. It's pretty amazing.
It is, you know, and the message, the overall message is, you know, if we're present, if we're in the now and we're functioning that way and totally aware, we're constantly getting information. Our lives should be flowing absolutely effortlessly. Most of us haven't gotten there yet, but we do discover that the more we are present with spirit and with ourselves, that we do, there's so many signs out there we never noticed before, and it's because we haven't been aware and we haven't been present. When I do my morning meditation, I end it all the time with a little request to the universe that says, and I know I'm going to get an amazing sign today that will validate for me all of the work that I'm doing, and I know it's going to be a surprise, and it's going to be fun, and it's going to be an adventure, and it will motivate me to do this meditation again tomorrow. That's our deal, God, you know? And every day I get something that's just funny as all get out. Something will show up that I wouldn't expect, and that kind of gives me the motivation to sit down and do that hour meditation again the next morning. So it's out there. It's out there if we're willing to access it.
You know, when I see your name, it always reminds me of Harry Potter, and that's really magical. And I think your work is very magical.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
So, on your website, you have some of the events that you do. I was going to get on your website and look at some. Do you have some speaking engagements or?
That website, that new website just launched, and we don't have the calendar up yet, so I'm not going to be very helpful on that.
Oh, okay.
But it does have a link for ordering the book and, you know, just some more information about, you know, the kinds of things that I do, hopefully getting people to engage. And, yes, I my goal is to get a blog up at some point where people can write in and tell me about their signs because I love to hear people's stories. They're always wonderful. Crazy, funny stuff. You know, you can't make this stuff up. Somebody actually asked me after reading the book. They had read the, you know, we have an advanced reader copy coming out right now, and they had read it, and they said, now, the question I have for you is everything in here true? And I looked at this person, I thought, I never would have thought someone would ask me that. And he goes, well, you know, it's kind of crazy stuff. And I said, well, trust me, you can't make this stuff up. You know, now whether every single detail is exactly correct, that assumes I actually remember every single detail, you know. And frankly, you know, most of the stories that are about my friends, they're my age too. They don't remember every single detail either, so we're all good. But the general stories, absolutely, they happen, you know, whether it was a Friday or a Monday or, you know, what the color of the car was, I can't tell you that's absolutely true. It's just my best guess on some of those details. But, you know, the stuff that happens to us is so, you know, like you say, miraculous and amazing and magical that I don't think you could make up stories that are as great as the ones that are absolutely the ones people are living on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait till your blog comes up because I bet people out there have so many different stories. I mean, you probably ran into them already, but the blog.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I would probably need to really get going on that a little quicker because I do want to hear people's stories, and it would be fabulous material for, you know, the next then the next, and the next book, wherever this ends up going. And I love sharing a lot of people's stories during speaking events as well. People love to hear the anecdotes, the personal stuff. That's what you take home with you. You know, what I find when I do speaking events is, you know, all the 5 ways to do this or the 10 ways to do that is fine, and you've got a PowerPoint, and that works great, but people don't take that home with them. What they really take home with them is the one story you tell them that they can't get out of their head, because it just touches them in a way that it's going to stick with them for a very, very long time. And that's why I love to anchor these things with stories, because it makes it real. It makes it absolutely real for people.
If you were to describe your life path here, your spiritual path, what movie title would you give it?
Movie title?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, it'd probably have God in it. I don't know. Maybe it might have, Oh, God, Book 3. Is that the one? I remember that. Or God Only Knows, or something along that line.
God hit me over the head.
Yeah, right. Yeah, something like that. I loved those. Did you guys ever see those old God movies with George Burns?
Oh, yeah.
I loved those movies. And I loved, there were a couple other. Oh, Bruce Almighty, and there was an Evan Almighty. And I think my all-time favorite was actually Defending Your Life. I don't know if you saw that one with Meryl Streep and Albert Brooks. But I love those movies because they've got that kind of funny, casual, let's just enjoy the whole experience of, you know, God, let's have fun with it. And yeah, so boy, I'd have no trouble having a movie would be cool, I think. And it'd have to have God in the title, definitely.
I get to
Is
see.
That you got?
I get to see.
You know, I could put a request like that on the blog, and people could probably give me 2,500 different possible ideas for a title.
Yeah.
Well, I could just see in the movie, God, please give me a sign, and this great big sign falls on top of your head.
Right. Did you see Bruce Almighty with Jim Carrey? Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
You did. Well, it was really funny because there is a scene in that movie, and the movie came out when I was in the middle of writing the book, one of the first drafts, and everybody I knew called me. There's a scene in the movie where Bruce is driving his car to work, and he's late, and he's stuck in traffic, and he's just complaining and moaning and groaning, and finally he goes, well, I'll give it a try, you know, because he doesn't have any kind of spirituality in his life, and he just screams and says, you know, God, give me a sign. And, of course, you know, nothing's happening, except that at that moment a utility truck from the highway department pulls in front of him, and in the back of the truck are these huge signs, road signs, one of which says stop, one of which says something like proceed one clear, one of which says turn around, you know, this kind of thing. He doesn't see these at all, so he decides to pass the utility truck to get to work faster, and guess what? He gets in an accident. You know, it was like, there you go. The signs were right there telling him not to move forward. And he was right in front of him, and he missed every single one of them, passes the truck and gets in an accident. And it was just one of those really funny little moments. And I thought, yep, there you go. That's it right there.
Can you give a hint to somebody maybe that has a book in mind or started a book from everything you've gone through getting this book published? Are there any hints that you could give people that want to be an author?
Don't get discouraged. It's, you know, it's quite a process, and you do really have to kind of learn what's going on out there. But I think, you know, you don't want to let it deter you. If you've got something to say, go for it. You know, whether you actually get it published, whether you self-publish, whether it becomes an e-book, whether it turns into a blog, it's a way of getting what you want to say out there. One thing I will say is right now, my sense is that there is a real demand for books around spirituality, particularly books that have a little bit of a different angle, you know, looking at it a little bit differently. I think there is I'm sure you guys have talked about this on your show, you know, there's a shift in consciousness out there, and people are far more interested in spiritual things than they have been. They're looking for this kind of thing. You see a lot of the movies that are coming out. We're getting a little more into the mystical kinds of things and, you know, what does time mean and where do we go after we die? And, you know, those kinds of things are coming up more rapidly than they have been in the past. And so it seems like it's a really ripe market at the moment for really good books on spirituality that can kind of help people who are just now, you know, starting to ask some of those very basic questions. People who maybe 5 years ago would never thought they would have uttered the God word, you know, are now actually looking for answers and for some help to start their own paths.
Yeah, it's really neat. A lot of people are worried about 2012, so
yeah.
Anything that can keep us in out of that fear mode.
Right, right. Yeah, and there's.
And you're,
I agree, nothing to fear. I agree also.
Well, your book is certainly something that I bet people laugh along the way when they read it, too.
I hope so. Yeah, I think so.
Well, you know, this just helps people look at their lives in a different way. It is so open-ended. It is a book like this. This is miraculous. I mean, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's such an open-ended book. It just allows your own creativity and imagination to be ignited. And a lot of books kind of, you know what I mean, just kind of travel in a linear aspect, not giving the reader much room to move and to develop, you know, and look more introspective within themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And this is such a gift, bringing this kind of book online. It's beautiful.
Oh, thank you. And I hope people will do that. I love it when somebody comes up to me and says, you know, I didn't get Detour the way you got it at all. They want to argue with me, and I go, go for it. You tell me all about how you got it, because that's what I want to hear. I want to hear that you get something out of it for you. This was my journey. I want to hear about your journey now. You know, where are you going to go with that information?
Yeah.
And that's what makes it really fun. And there's so many opportunities for people, I think, to really grow. To really find something that will work for them. I mean, you could take any one sign. The one that caught me up for, like, honestly, 4 or 5 months, it just was a process, was yield. I mean, it's a simple sign, but I'm, you know, one of those people who's made a living out of being a control freak. So having to work with that sign of yield, surrendering, you know, to the universe, surrendering to your higher power, oh, my gosh, that was such a job for me to get through that chapter, because I didn't want to learn the lesson that it had, and I fought it and fought it and fought it. I had no shortage of anecdotes as to all the crazy things I did to not yield, but the lesson was, wow, that was really quite a journey for me on that one.
Yeah, it sounds like your writing this book was a big opening for you, a spiritual opening. I mean, put you one step before you started.
Yeah, and exactly. And I think that's exactly what it was intended to be. I think that was very, very well calculated, actually. that was my path, and I figured that out shortly into the process, that this was my spiritual journey, was to write this book. And it was why it took the 5 years. People say, oh, you can do a book in two, or you can do a book in 6 months. Yeah, but I wasn't just doing a book. I was also growing spiritually, and I had to get the lessons 15 lessons one at a time, you know, to get from point A to point B, and I don't regret any of that time. It was just magical stuff.
Yeah, the miracles on the way.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
Are there
some key people in your life, Linda, are there key people in your life that whom inspired you to become an author or humorist or speaker?
You know, yeah, probably. I've always loved humorists. That's certainly been one. I loved Irma Bombeck. So it was so flattering when people started to say, I had a friend who says, you know, it's something like a cross between Irma Bombeck and Deepak Chopra. I thought, oh, okay, that's interesting. But then after time went on, you know, I kind of got labeled the Irma Bombeck of metaphysics. And I love that. I actually, because I loved her stuff. And what I liked about her stuff was that it was just humor, finding humor in ordinary, everyday experiences, you know, not taking life too seriously, seeing, you know, that funny side of it. I also like David Sedaris, who is far, 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 far edgier than someone like Irma Bombeck, and there's some things in his writings that are just downright inappropriate. But he has the ability, he has a craft. His craft of creating humor is really amazing, and just in terms of how to write humor and how to set up a joke or even how to tell an anecdote. There's so much that I admire in what he does. I also like, you know, Nora Ephron. I like her movies. You know, she did When Harry Met Sally. she's done a lot of movies. She also did Bewitched. She's got several books out there. But yeah, I tend to gravitate towards humorous probably as much as anything. And as a speaker, I don't know, I think what I'm more, in terms of inspiration as speakers, I really enjoy people who perform rather than speak. I like to see a performance that has a message. I really admire really good performers. I'm trying to think of, I've actually seen some videos of Meryl Streep doing some inspirational speaking, you know, and she's got, of course, she brings that theater aspect to it, and you do remember when she says something. I saw Nora Ephron do a talk. I saw one of hers, and again, you know, the whole time it was, you were just enjoying the heck out of it. It wasn't just a talk. It was a performance, but not affected in any way. You know, it was a genuine, honest, authentic performance. But you saw that there was an art there, you know, that was more than just information being disseminated. She was moving you emotionally. She was getting you to laugh. She was getting you to think. Those are the kinds of speakers that I really enjoy emulating. That's what I like to be. I like to be not just a disseminator of information. I want you to be moved, you know, when you leave. I want you to get something more than that.
Well, I remember looking back at school, and the teachers that really brought things, you know, home to you were performers.
Right, exactly.
So I was looking at your bio, and it says something about spiritual counselor. So do you actually... Are you a counselor, spiritual counselor?
I'm a Centers for Spiritual Living practitioner. I'm a CSL practitioner, so I'm licensed, and I do a lot of spiritual counseling as part of that. So that's my background. Doesn't seem like there's much time for that these days as there was before, but I still love doing it. It's wonderful working with people.
Well, I'm sure this book is going to lead you to working with people much more than you ever thought it would.
Probably. Right.
Linda, let me ask you a question. I'm thinking, can you relate to anything that you're doing now and look back on when you were about 5, 6, 7, 8 years old? Can you ever remember yourself kind of pulling out funny things and laughing at it?
You know, I do remember kind of enjoying being the class clown sort of thing. I wasn't the prettiest girl, you know. I got into my beauty later. I had all these horrible freckles with red hair, and I mean, oh my gosh, it was hard. So I did the kind of the class clown thing. So that was there all the time, and I just loved memorizing jokes and telling funny stories. I like to make people laugh. I think that was just my niche at that point in time. I found something that I did well, and so I kept doing it. In that respect, I do remember doing those kinds of things.
And now you're a mother, a wife, and a grandmother. How do you look at the sibling, your children and their aspect is how you look at life?
You know, I look at my I have one grandson. I look at my grandson a lot differently than I looked at my own children. You know, you really have a different perspective as time goes on. Plus, during that time, I found, my path, my spiritual path, in my mid-40s, you know, and at that point in time, my children were older, so I never had a chance to practice that on them. Whereas with Aiden, I get to actually use what I now understand and know, and it's such a joyous, it's joyous to be with grandchildren no matter what, but it's really joyous to spend time with grandchildren knowing that you're coming from a different place, you know, that you're seeing infinite possibility, and you're loving unconditionally. You're interacting from a place of just joy, rather than, gee, I need to be to the soccer match at 4, and I need to go to the grocery store at 5, and you know, that sort of thing. So it's just been luxurious, you know, to have this in my life now, to have a little guy in my life.
How old is he?
He's actually 5. Well, he's actually said he's going to turn 5 in a month. He's almost 5.
That's a fun age.
Yeah, it is. But he lives in California, so I'm going to be out there. I'm coming out to see him in about a month. He lives up in Santa Maria, California.
Well, you know, you should, you don't have time enough to do it now, but arrange for you to do workshops in California while you're visiting your family.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I would agree with you. I'd love to get some things put together. I think people would enjoy it. You know, I haven't really done much outside of Colorado at this point, so it would be fun to take it on the road a little bit, find some opportunities. I'm sure, you know, we'll just put that out into the universe and something will show up. We'll see. The right opportunity will show up.
Look for a sign.
Yeah, look for a sign. Exactly. Now, I'll ask for one of those.
When I say to my husband, oh, gee, that was a sign that I should do, da da da. He goes, you're carrying this a little bit too far.
Yeah, that's like reading things into signs that aren't really there.
Right? Do you see people doing that? Reading,
well, of course they do.
Yeah.
Like, of course they do. Well, yeah, you know, you want to see what you want to see. You want a sign that tells you what you want to hear. You really don't want a sign that tells you something that's going to make you do work or isn't. You don't want to know you're not going to win the lottery. You know, you want a sign that's going to tell you are. I think that's just human nature. But, we become more discerning, I think, the more conscious we become and you start to figure that out. One of the things I tell people is, any kind of a sign, you know, well, I think I maybe mentioned this even a little bit earlier, it has to be something that's going to make you a better person. That you're not going to get signs to go, you know, spend your money at Las Vegas next week and come home broke. That's not really a sign from God. It's probably something else entirely. Yeah, right. Yeah, I got a sign that I need to be in Vegas tomorrow morning. I don't think so. I should say that. Maybe it would be possible, yeah. But there are going to be more things that are going to, they may challenge you, but they are definitely going to be something that's going to be for your highest good in the long run.
So yield was your most challenging sign?
Yeah, that was a tough one because I, difficult one for me. Proceed when clear was kind of a fun one for me. A lot of stories there about my mother and her driving record. That was kind of interesting. I had fun with that one. Fog conditions may exist somehow or other. That I kind of went down the Jabberwocky Alice in Wonderland road on that one. And I ended up talking, I think, most of that chapter about my hot tub in my backyard that I, you know, that's where I have my conversations with God. You know, that's my private space. And I didn't know it was going to go in that direction either. That was an interesting chapter.
That must have been fun for you to write that book.
It was very fun. Very fun. Absolutely.
When you were talking about detour, detour would mean to me take the scenic, it'd be a scenic route. It's a route you've never seen before. So did you go in that direction?
Absolutely not. not a chance. No. You know, well, I could, you know, the first thing that most people I talk to had said, I like yours actually, will say, oh yeah, just everything just gets in my way every time I think I'm going to accomplish something. There's some stupid detour that takes me off track. What came up for me actually was why detours show up. And my message was that, you know, until we're willing to get naked with God, you know, just totally open, we're going to keep encountering one detour after another. That's what came up for me. And I ended up relating a story from college. I was in a production of Troilus and Cressida, a Shakespearean production. And the director, for some reason I've never figured out, wanted to do the big love scene between Troilus and Cressida in the nude. And it was a moment in which I just looked at him and went, you want me to do what? That particular incident was what really was the catalyst for this whole chapter. What does it mean to be naked? When is it appropriate to do so? When is it not appropriate to do so? How naked do you have to get really to be able to have a good relationship with God? So that was a funny chapter. Now, I don't think most people would have gone there.
You know, I have every once in a while I get a nightmare where I don't have any clothes on, and I don't have any place to get clothes. So that must mean that I need to, you know, I'm trying to hide something from with my clothes. I don't know, but.
Yeah, see, isn't that interesting? Yeah, I think that might be something to think about. What is the getting naked piece for you? What does that mean that's causing you to think about that again? Yeah.
Well, you know, Linda, I was just thinking, you know, another title that you could have for a book, it would be God's Not Done Yet.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's, oh my God, you know what, you're just, like I said, this book, I've never seen a book like this. I mean, I, you know, to open, it's open and it's open-ended everywhere. I mean, it's allowing for someone to look deeper within themselves and pull from any aspect throughout their lives. I mean, it's an incredible book.
That's a great idea.
Allowing, it's allowing that person who reads your book to look within themselves in areas they never even thought of doing. And usually, like I said, usually a book is a linear thing. You just keep reading and reading, and then you got to search here and there. But this is just like opening the pages for your own life in a whole different way. It's such a fresh way to look at something. It's very lovely.
Thank you. I'm hoping other people agree with you because I'm so excited about it. I can't wait to get it out there.
Yeah.
Well, for the listening audience, we've been talking with Linda M. Potter. Just remember Harry Potter.
Harry Potter's mother.
And her new book coming out. When is it coming? It's going to be at the end of May.
Yeah, it's at the end of May. It's available for pre-order on Amazon. You can get it now there. And there's also a link to the publisher's direct website on my website as well.
So it's Looking for a Sign from God. Oh, no, I'm sorry. If only God would give me a sign.
Exactly.
Maybe your next book is Looking for a Sign.
Yeah, we could play with that for, I think, a whole series, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, no kidding. So, if only God would give me a sign. Is
a
the main
sign,
of the book.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not only opening doors up for people, but it's a fun book to read, I'm sure. So you can get inspiration from thinking about signs. What a great idea.
Oh, is there one last message you would like to give us that we might not have touched upon?
Oh, my. I just encourage people to set an intention to start noticing signs, to just set that intention every morning and just say, I'm going to notice one sign today. And it doesn't have to be a big thing. It can be something very, very small. But I'm going to notice it, and I'm going to respond to it in some way. That's just a wonderful place to start, and it's so much fun.
Well, that's exactly what I have been thinking all through this interview. I thought, I'm going to go out and look for some signs.
Right, exactly.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate
you
taking
this was so much fun, guys.
Yes.
Thanks for having me.
It was.
So have a great rest of the day in Colorado.
Thank you. I certainly will.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
And we'll be talking to you soon again, I'm sure. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And you've been listening to the Taz and Paula Show. Our website is tazandpaulashow.com. Taz is spelled with T like Tom, A-Z-Z. The word and is spelled out. So it's tazandpaulashow.com.
And if you want to tweet us, you can do get on Twitter and then with / Taz and Paula. And we also have a fan page on Facebook. So you just go to www.facebook.com/ Taz and Paula Show. So you can communicate with us that way. So we'd love to hear from you.
And thank you for being with us this week.